Philippians 4, verse 21. I'm not really skipping 20. I'm going to combine 20 with 23. And so that's my plan. But I hate to tell you, I mean, look where we are. We're at the end of this. A couple more sermons and... I mean, that's it. What do we do? Philippians 4, 21. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. Let's pray. Lord, a wonderful thing to be able to greet one another in love, with no obstacle, no hindrance, as you will. And Lord, we desire to do that and always to be able to do it naturally, Lord, in you, supernaturally, I guess. But Lord, also to make sure that these relationships are maintained properly. And we pray, Lord, for you to bring us your word to understand it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There's a common thing in Southern Baptist churches, which I will call horizontal growth. It could be called lateral growth. There's no specific name it has, I guess. But one form of horizontal growth is just adding components to the church as it is, like another service. That would be horizontal growth. Or if you open up a service for the Spanish community, for example, well, that'd be horizontal growth. Nothing wrong with that. Another horizontal emphasis is when we talk about outreach. As opposed to vertical, we stress our relationship with the Lord, which you never, that's number one. But also that we want to have an outreach. Well, that's horizontal growth, when you reach out and, you know, reach people that way. In other words, focusing on people along with our vertical focus on the Lord. But the horizontal growth I want to showcase is church growth from other churches. And a lot of church growth that takes place today comes from another church, who were members of another church. And they have gotten mad over there, and they've come over here. I believe in this association, there's around 40 churches. You could get mad 40 times, move to the next one. And people would just be saying, thank God, you know, we got a church member, a new church member. That's horizontal growth. You're not... I'm not saying those people are Christians, really. But you're not making disciples. Often, and most churches don't ask, unfortunately. I have had churches ask me, send a letter. This person has come here. They were associated with your church at one time. We want to know if there's anything that you would tell us about them that would hinder us from receiving them into our membership. I always appreciated that. That's a very honorable thing. And if there was, I would have said. In this particular case, there wasn't. But that's moving to another church. And the Lord leads who where we go, and I'm not, you know, involved in that. I have a lot of opinions about it. But the true church consists of born-again Christians. The universal church, the worldwide church, the capital C church, is every true believer. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, then you are a member of the body of Christ, the true church. And true believers, then, are commanded by God to gather with other believers in a local setting. Universal church, we couldn't meet with all the universal church because it's all over the world. But then a local assembly, we are that here. So a local assembly of true Christians then gather in a local church. And we're together there. And as long as the word is being preached, as long as we're obedient to the Lord, that should maintain, that should persist. In the early American colonies, it was required to go to church. So you're going to have the mixture, which is normal in churches. We're commanded to gather with other believers. But in most churches, there will be people in the church who are not Christians. And so they will be in the church, but not part of the church in the eyes of God. And with that, you'll have believers, unbelievers, and make-believers. That'll be the contingency. That'll be the people that are there. Some will really be believers, excited for the Lord. Some will be unbelievers, just there for whatever reason they want to have a religion. Some will be make-believers who are pretending to be Christians, but not in their hearts, they really aren't. Now, believers are joined by God into one loving family. God does that. He adopts us into his family. Your family, you know, Seek was in Florida, but she's still our family. Your kids grow up, they move out, but they're still your family. They gather in different places, but they're still part of the family. And so God's family, and 1 Peter describes it, that we have unfeigned love. That's the way one version puts it. 1 Peter 1:22, since you have, in obedience to the truth, purified your souls for a sincere love. That's where the unfeigned is, a sincere love. You really love people. Fervently love one another from the heart. For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is through the living and enduring word of God. So you've been born again, love with unfeigned love from the heart. This is what God calls every believer to. And so then there's those churches that grow by members of one church getting mad and then moving to another church. And thus no new disciples are made unless those people get saved. And I'm not saying they're all lost, but certainly a lot of them would be. It's just an ebb and flow of mostly unbelievers. And why is that? Now, we see it all the time. We expect it. It's normal. But it's not normal. We call people church hoppers as opposed to grasshoppers. People who will never settle in a church. And how could they? Look at our curtains. They aren't the color that everybody wants them to be. Do we really expect a person who is a believer in Jesus Christ to endure that? Look at the carpet. Is that the color every person prefers for the carpet? Well, of course not. So if they come here and they're here for a while and they're looking down and we pray and they don't close their eyes, and they kept their eyes open, and they saw the carpet. They're out. I'm sorry, the Lord has led me somewhere else. I can't bear that carpet. Now I'm funning some. But you see, this happens all the time. People get offended. People get mad. People feel slighted. And they go somewhere else. And So the church growth takes place from a lack of love somewhere else. And you got somebody here who might be a holy terror who's now wanting to join your church by transfer of letter. I want to show today how the simple Christian greeting works to unite true believers and keep us together. As you see, these verses are about greeting. There are more verses about greeting than you might realize in Scripture. And as I said, I haven't skipped verse 20. I think verse 20 goes with 23. And so when I finish, I'm assuming next Sunday, Lord willing, I will cover verse 20 and verse 23. This is the benediction. This is a place where the letter is ended and we say goodbye. And we want to leave an impact. We want the closing of the letter to express love and to be remembered fondly. And so Paul emphasizes in his goodbye that we should be good at saying hello. So first of all, Paul hands out greetings. He says, greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. Now, I am a Star Trek fan. You know that. I've not hidden that from you. Much more than Star Wars. I've got Star Wars t-shirts. My daughter gets me. I think she likes Star Wars more than Star Trek. But I'm a Star Trek fan. I would not call myself a Trekkie. You know what a Trekkie is? They don't just go to a place. They dress up as Mr. Spock, and they greet you this way. To live long and prosper. And I, you know, if I see that, I'm still, I have a kinship with them. Because I like the same thing they do. I like Star Trek. I think it's a good show. It's bad on theology in a lot of places, but what isn't on TV? Pretty much. You have to be sensible. So I see someone who is a Trekkie, and we can talk. We can get along. We can talk about an episode. We'd, oh, yeah, I love that. Oh, yeah, this. And we can compare who's the better captain, Kirk or Picard. We can do stuff like that because we're on the same wavelength. This is what we have in Christ. We are on the same wavelength. If I see someone with a t-shirt that says, I will not eat broccoli. Brother! I mean, I'm with them. There's that kinship. So Paul says, greet every saint. This is from Paul. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. Well, he can't be serious, right? What about people we're mad at? What about people that we don't like? I formulated a belief back a while that whereas the Lord tells us to love one another, many people don't like others. And they take that as a permission from God to not love them. If they don't like them, not going to love them. What if you don't like them? What about if you don't agree on everything? What about if one of them pulls for Clemson and the other pulls for South Carolina? Greet them? What if they're offended? Easily offended. What do you think Paul meant here when he said, greet every saint in Christ Jesus? You know what I think he meant? Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. And people make a big deal of their offenses. And they expect the church many times to bend over backwards to serve them. But the very simple thing is, if we're in Christ Jesus, we love each other. And those who are saints have been saved. A saint means set apart. But those who are saints have been saved by the effectual call of God by the Holy Spirit through the gospel. We've been made new. Now, before you're saved, you have a lot of petty disagreements, a lot of anger issues. You're standoffish to people. You're bitter, angry, hold grudges. When the Lord saves us, we still have to battle those things, but with a new heart, we're able to do it. And our nature is to love. And so saints are to be distinguished from church members. Saints are members of the true body of Christ, saved by the Holy Spirit. Our names are written in heaven, set apart for the glory of God. Saints will also typically be active members of a local church where they will stay faithful by nature. However, church members will not necessarily be saints. Saints will be church members, but church members will not necessarily be saints. They will not necessarily be saved. The people who deal with this more than I do, in all than more than one church, throughout Southern Baptist, for example, have come up with figures as high as 90% of people who are church members of Southern Baptist churches who do not know the Lord. Now, I hope that's not true. But they're not involved. They show no life. They show no gifts of the Spirit. They show no willingness. They hold grudges. They get angry and they put up fences. I mean, they're never around. So they may be right, especially with the way many people are given the gospel. Just come forward and you'll be saved. And they never got saved that way. So, you don't just look at a church and you say, well, those are all Christians. I mean, the world sees this. They call everybody a hypocrite in a church when it's not so. But there are a lot of those. So Paul sends his greetings to every saint. Now, in some churches, if Paul said, greet every saint in Christ Jesus, you'd look around and not find any to greet, unfortunately. But there's usually some. Like you go fishing. If you go on fishing and there are no fish, you brought your bait, you brought your hook, you offer them a nice meal. Through the line in the river, nothing. Well, where were the fish? Well, sometimes there aren't any fish to greet. But generally, you greet the saints. So Paul conveyed greetings to the saints, and he conveyed greetings from the saints to the Philippians. He said those who are with him. He has people with him. The brethren who are with me greet you. Now you see, they're not together. They're not in the same place. They're not in the same body locally. But they're in the same family of God. So they're sending greetings. Paul sends greetings to them. All who are with him sends greetings to them, to the Philippians as well. All the saints who are around him have the concern for the other saints. And then he says, especially those who are of Caesar's household. Well, Caesar's household, we know who Caesar is. The saints of Caesar's household. Now, Paul was preaching the gospel and making people mad by doing so. It doesn't make any sense because you're saying, listen, I'm going to give you a message that's going to save you eternally, keep you out of hell, and go to heaven. And people get mad about that and lock him up. So Philippians is a prison epistle, probably the last of the four. And so he's in prison. Why is he in prison? For preaching the gospel. What's the purpose of the gospel? To keep people out of hell. So lock him up, right? So they locked him up. And when they lock him up, the whole point was, and the Jews were very insistent about this, to stop him from preaching this gospel. To stop it. So they lock him up, and what happens? He's sent to Rome, and then Caesar's household has Christians in it because of that. Sending him to Rome didn't stop the gospel fruit. It increased it. Because now there are people in Caesar's household. How close to Caesar, I don't know. They're in his household. And they're saved. Because the ministry of the gospel has reached them. Paul has reached them. And so they're all greeting each other. And they love each other. Secondly, the importance of greetings. Now, there's a natural greeting that everybody does. If we go shopping for groceries at Walmart, I'm a greeter. Would you say? I'm a greeter. I'll talk to people. I'll see someone in those little motorized scooters. I'll say, how fast you get that thing up to? And I'll talk to them. And people are friendly. And that's just a friendly thing that we do. We shake hands. High five. Down low. Fist bump. Some do a chest bump. They're just natural greetings. It's typically how we begin communication with others. Hey, how you doing? All right. And then you get into something. It expresses openness and availability and friendliness. If you walk up to someone, you want them to be friendly. I was telling Cindy, I dreamed last night, and I never remember dreams. Well, no, never remember this one. I was at her mom's house, which happened to be where we lived before we came here, in the mountains of North Carolina. And I went outside from her mom's house in the mountains of North Carolina, which was the stone house, which she never lived in, except when she came to stay with us. And I ran outside, and there was somebody out there around the corner of the house in the dark looking foreboding to me. And then he starts running at me. That's not a greeting. So in the dream, I ran in, got her mom's gun. That just shows you how crazy dreams are right there. She never had a gun. But the gun she had in the dream, I decided to shoot the person through the glass. It didn't break the glass, her gun. It was awful. But see, that's a lack of friendliness because the guy was hostile. Well, we don't want to appear hostile. The absence of a greeting would communicate avoidance. I don't want to engage in a greeting with you because I don't want to talk to you. You might have a grudge or hostility there. But a natural greeting, you don't have to know them. You don't have to be part of the same family. You don't have to be a Christian. You're just open to communication, friendliness. And that goes a long way. But then there's the spiritual greeting, which is what we're talking about here. A spiritual greeting is an expression of love and affection. Kind of like your dog greets you. I mean, one guy said, I want a woman who will love me as much as my dog loves me. I mean, the dog is wagging its tail, running at you. Oh, so friendly. I mean, unless it bites your hand. But a friendly dog, that is a perfect example. Loving affection, acceptance of another person in the family of God. That you are genuinely excited and joyful to interact with them. If you ever got a speeding ticket, you might have said, hello, officer, but you didn't mean it in the same way we're talking about here. I mean, you're genuinely excited to be with them. It's been too long that there's been an absence. And you're interested in their well-being. Encouraged. I always loved Dr. Thomas's greetings. Oh, he'd hug you and you try to get the air back into your lungs. And it was encouraging, accepting, loving. It shows fellowship and support. If you have one of these little beverage containers, my wife has some. Yeah, right there. There are two ways to get water in that thing. You can pour water when the lid is off, and you can pour water when the lid is on. If the lid is on, it won't go in. It's not received. Christian greetings are, we're open to converse with you, to fellowship with you, to encourage you, to love you. And that is a Christian greeting. To fellowship and support. And the overall conveyance of a Christian greeting is to show unity and love. That we are good. Greetings are fled when there's something of an unresolved issue. Dr. Belcher had a sermon where he said, you know, is there anybody in this church today that you have a problem with? And he said if people raise their head and start looking around, well, they've already lost the battle. Greetings are for people who are open and accepting one another, and there's no grudge and hindrance. And this is the plight of those who want to get away from other believers. You leave other churches. I'm mad at the preacher, mad at the deacons, I'm mad at somebody else. I'm not going to go here anymore. I'm not going to get it right. They don't get it right, they run away from it. And honestly, when I came here at first, that was the first thing I noticed that was different from where I was in North Carolina, is that more people were mad. There were people in the church who were mad, or got mad fast, or got mad easily. Thankfully, I don't feel that way now. Are you mad at me? Good. Maybe it was more that way here then. But it may be shirking responsibility to love, duty and compassion. The Good Samaritan, remember, the Good Samaritan helped the guy. The other ones who should have helped him, they passed on to act like they didn't see him. It might be latent hostility, lack of forgiveness. You know, one thing people do is they say, listen, people ought to love me, and I'm not getting love. And they sit at home and pout because they're not getting love. But they're not loving anybody. They're sitting home and pouting. And that happened too. Professing Christians sometimes will say they are Christians, and given verses of Scripture about love, will horizontal, slide off to somewhere else. I don't get that. I don't see God leading people that in that fashion. Well, finally, the flow of greetings. There are qualities that are pleasing to God that Christians are to actively maintain. Our love is to be maintained willfully, constantly. 1 John 3:18, little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. So that is what we are doing. We are loving with our heart. We are loving with our in deed and truth. We're to maintain the unity of the Spirit. Ephesians 4:1, therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. With all humility and gentleness and patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We're to preserve that. Not just wait for it to magically take us over. How many people you think that went to a ball game yesterday, sat at home until something magical happened to them and just forced them into the car to drive to the stadium? They went on purpose. The Bible says that's what we're to do. We're to maintain the unity of the Spirit. We're to constantly care for one another. 1 Corinthians 12:24. But God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. We're to care for each other. And so Christian greetings are effective in holding us together in the will of God. It is an intimate relationship. It is being expressed just by a greeting among Christians. The Bible says we're not to give Christian greetings to false teachers. 2 John verse 10, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house, nor greet him, for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. So I always taught Jehovah's Witnesses on the front steps. Don't greet them. Don't act like they're okay. Christian greetings are not shallow. When they sent out the 70, Jesus said, don't greet anybody on the way, because it took a while. Luke 10. Now, so Christian greetings maintain a fresh infusion of love. That's what greetings are for. For Christians, it's not just a casual thing you don't think about. It's an expression of love and acceptance, care, concern, fellowship. Now, there's a verse. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Oh boy, at CBC, we sure talked about that one. Get all these women there. I mean, I only had for Cindy, but I mean, other guys were. Let's go do that verse today, girls. Greet one another with a holy kiss. It's said several times in Scripture. Now, there's a cultural element here. Some places, kiss, you know, even on the mouth. Kissing is a greeting. It's just a cultural way. So it's not always that way. Like here, it's not that way. In Rutherford, where we were before, there was a lady there, Rose. She had bright red lipstick on. When she kissed me on my cheek, I carried that around for a while. I mean, it was plastered there, lips. But normally, there is that greeting kiss, and some places use that a lot. And then there is also a romantic kiss. And a romantic kiss is extremely different, isn't it? When I kiss Cindy, I grab her by the back of her head and I throw her down like this and I plant a kiss. Now, if I did that with any of you, that would not be a holy kiss. I might get slapped even. You see, the difference is this is a pure, holy kiss in a society that kissed to greet. So the CBC thing wouldn't work biblically. You know, let me kiss you on the mouth and it says right in the Bible. No, that wouldn't work. So a kiss used in a Christian greeting is the non-romantic kind, the holy kiss. We generally hug and shake hands, and that's fine. Sometimes you kiss, that's fine. But the point is to express tenderness. Elvis didn't sing "Love Me Brutally." Love me tender. I mean, to have that tenderness expressed among believers. And that is a preservation. That we are preserved in our love for one another by greeting. And you know yourself. If there's a break in a relationship, you do not greet. You don't call. You don't contact. You get shut off if it's against you. with computers, we have a lot of passwords. If you don't use your password all the time, you will forget it. Maybe you got it written down somewhere. But if you don't use it all the time, you'll go there, it'll say, log in for $1 billion, and you'll say, what was that login? I can't remember. Unless you do it all the time. We're to keep relationships fresh and loving and unobstructed. Yesterday, I made the one thing I make. I made grits. You know, 2 cups of water, 1/2 cup of grits, some salt, boil the water, and put the grits in, and then you stir. And you stir it so that it turns out to be the kind of grits you can eat. We have to stir constantly our love for one another. And we do that one way, by the Christian greeting. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for the love we have for one another. It's from you. Love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. We thank you for the love we have. And may we, Lord, in our greetings, express always our openness and care for one another. And may that, Lord, keep us unified of one mind and spirit to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.